And this morning, before we go to prayer, if we'd remain standing and open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading from verse 4 for our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read verse 4 and verse 5 for our text. For while one saith, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the most precious name that we know, and that is the name that you gave your only begotten Son to share with you. Father God, we humbly approach thy throne of mercy this morning, knowing that there is still a sacrifice there to witness to the shed blood of your Son Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf. Father, we would ask that your presence would radiate within us and kindle a fire in our hearts to love you more and more, and to become a part of you, even as your Son Jesus said that he and you were one. We know our oneness with you comes by our being one with your Word, for you are the Word. And we pray that that mind that was in Christ would be in us, and we pray that we would be one, even as your Son Jesus prayed that we might be one with you, even as you and he were one. And we would ask you that you would anoint us to your Word this morning in order that we might give you the supreme preeminence, and that no other would receive what is solely due to you and you alone. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, and for thy glory we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now I hope that you'll notice from our text that the Apostle Paul was telling us that if we are focused on the man whereby God is using to feed you, what did he say? He said, you're carnal. One thing has bothered me more than any other since I came into this message in 1974, and that is to see people idolize their minister that they're sitting under. When I came to the message, I was alone for a couple years with no church to attend and no leadership of man to follow. Then when I graduated from college, I met Brother Vail, and while he was preaching, something spoke to me and told me to get under his ministry. The next week, I was in the Minnesota Vikings training camp where I had signed 3 one-year contracts to play football. And I'll never forget seeing grown men in their 40s standing in line to get my autograph as I prepared to enter the playing field. Now, here I was just a kid fresh out of college. And I'll never forget some man with several young children standing there waiting to get my autograph. And when he stopped me and asked me for my autograph, I felt so humbled that I said to him, I should be the one getting your autograph because you're the one who's accomplishing something. You're raising these kids. And I sincerely meant that from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't understand someone who was twice my age wanting my autograph. I didn't understand those things. The next year, I remember going to a camp meeting in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And as I sat amongst the ministers, I heard a lot of tearing down of other ministers. And I can still remember thinking in my heart, they have a better attitude in the Catholic Church than I'm seeing displayed here among us. And I said, if that is the spirit that gets on the ministry, then I don't want any part of it. And I meant it. Look, I don't mean to tear down anyone for their beliefs. And if I ever appear to be doing so, I want you just to pray for me. I do not like that attitude in anyone. We all believe what God has allowed us to believe, not because we're smarter than the rest, not because we have something over on the other, but simply by the grace of God, by His sovereign grace, we know what we know by His grace. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Matthew 13, where Jesus said that he spoke in parables because it was given for some to know and to understand, while it was not given for others to know and to understand. And so I see that what we know only because of the sovereign will of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And therefore, how could any boast before God of knowing more than another? To me, that's just carnal. And that is what the Apostle Paul was rebuking the Corinthian church about. The people were making camps around certain ministers. One group claimed Paul, while another group claimed Apollos, and still another group claimed Peter. And Paul said that they were carnal to do so. When I came here to Cincinnati, it was because Brother Vail asked me to accompany him to speak to a new group of believers who wanted to know more about Brother Branham and about his message. Brother Vail came with me a few times, and then when he could come no more, the people asked me if I would continue to come. And so I did. I was not voted in here by man. God gave me his sovereign vote, as he does to all his fivefold ministry. And as Brother Vail said, a man that is a founder of a work is not to be voted in or out by that church, because he is the founder of that work, and the people are there because of that man's ministry. Now, I do believe that most of you have come to Cincinnati because you believe what I'm teaching is the truth. And you believe that same truth, and therefore you came that we might have fellowship together with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I do not believe you came because you saw all, you know, all the fellowship and thought it would be a good place to raise your kids. I don't say that those are bad motives. Those aren't bad motives, but it's just that there has been not a whole lot of fellowship in Cincinnati. And I believe it has to do with the culture of the city, the culture of the people, and the farness of traveling. In Minneapolis, as example, the entire ring, you could go, you know, from Bloomington, which is at one side of the ring, to the other would be about 10 miles at the most. Here, you know, from one side of 275 to the other is about 40 miles. So you see, it's just a much, much larger place to travel. That is not to say that those, I don't say that those are bad motives to come for fellowship, but it's just that there's not been that kind of fellowship here. Because for one, I really truly believe in an individual walk with God. I always have pushed that. I do not push organization and church programs here, not because they are evil, but because that I've seen in them a means of capturing the focus of people instead of the Word being their focus. That is not to say that those churches that have all those programs are wrong for doing so. It is simply because in my heart I do not believe God wants us to be programmed into programs. But rather I believe he wants us to be free from programs and focus purely on his word. Perhaps I'm not saying this right, but what I'm trying to say is that I do not have anything against programs in the church if they can do it without detracting from the individual walk with God. But what I've seen more than less, is that when churches grow in numbers and they grow with programs, the bigger the church becomes, the more programs they have, and the more the people become distant one from another, and the more the people are just following. They don't know what they're following. They're just following, blind leading the blind. It's just people following. And I believe that we have to have an individual walk with Jesus Christ. But what I see is so often is that churches grow by programs, and the larger the church, the more programs that they have to keep the people. Now, you might think that that's okay, but I just feel that our motive for coming to church is to hear from God and have nothing standing between us and him come time for us to cross the river. And to me, when you see more interested in programs than the Word of God, then something is wrong somewhere. Now, that is all that I'm going to say about that, but as I said, I have nothing against having good programs in the church. It's just that where does the motive stem from? It's like Brother Brown said, the girl, she was going to sing a special, but she told him she wasn't ready because her hair wasn't fixed right. And he said, you'll never sing in my pulpit again, or my church again, because her motive was wrong. You see, we don't come to play instruments because we're great at it. We're very talented at it. The Bible says we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So when you come, if you don't feel like singing, sing anyway. I'll never forget John Wesley. When he first began to understand the movement of the Holy Spirit in the inner work of grace that God would do, he said, "I don't quite understand it." He said, "I know I don't have it." And Peter, the Moravian, he said to him, he said, "Preach it until you get it." And if there's a weakness in your life, then that's what you need to work on. So Brother Brown said, if you're a stingy person, give all that you have away. Just keep giving, giving, giving. Something will take place. Something will break. But to get that back to what Paul is saying, he saw that the people had become carnal in comparing one ministry to another. That's okay in sports. It's okay in music. But that is so carnal when you're dealing with the Word of God. Because what have we got that was not given to us from God? Did you get those things on your own? If you think that you have a successful ministry because of your own efforts, then you're not too mature in the things of the Lord. That is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? We have a church just across the street here. Who makes you different from them? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What we have is a gift from God. Then God should be praised. God should be thanked. If you have a minister that's teaching you the word, then you should thank God. And you should pray that that person would stay humble before God always. And in verse 1 of the same chapter, Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." That's what we are. In the ministry, you're a steward. Now, a steward isn't a steward of his own things. He's a steward of the things of another who's higher, who's his boss. And what we have as the message, this great light that we have, it's not ours to begin with. So we're held accountable because it belongs to God. The things which are hidden belong unto the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And so God loans them to you. He gives them to you freely. Now, if you're a man who has made great wealth because of your own doing, your own applying the scriptural principles, and that's one thing. But if you're a son who's been born with a silver spoon in his mouth, what boasting is there in that? And what boasting do we have that we can boast ourselves above another ministry or another church? He says, "For who maketh thee differ from another?" Notice in verse 1, he says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one another, for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Nor if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" One thing I've noticed in the message in particular is the comparisons of Brother Branham to Moses and Paul. And people saying, "Well, I think Brother Branham was a greater prophet than Paul. I think Brother Branham was a greater prophet than Moses. Well, I think Moses was a greater prophet than Brother Branham. Blah, 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 blah." aren't we carnal when we start making comparisons? Moses didn't live in this day. He didn't live in this age. And William Branham didn't live under the servitude and slavery of Egypt. Each man was made and equipped by God for the day in which they lived.
Amen.
Each man cannot be compared. The only one you can compare anyone to is Jesus Christ. And we all come in a far, far second. There's only one great among us, and that's God Himself. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 3, verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And where does faith come from? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And faith comes by God and God alone. For it is not even our own faith that saves us, but the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His faith that He had in His Father to raise Him up, His faith, and not even our own faith. Now, I'm getting back to our text. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 6, he said, I've planted, and Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth is anything, but God that giveth the increase is everything. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And why are they one? Because they are planting and watering with the same intention, and that is for the purpose of bringing forth or sustaining God life. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Because if you're laboring not with God, then you can plant all you want, you can water all you want, but if there is no increase, then your ministry will be judged in such. Now, I like that. He's telling us that we do not act alone, but our actions are in accordance with the plan of God. And if God does not give increase, we could not plant all day, or we could plant all day long, we could water all day long, but if God is not there to bring the increase, then all of our efforts are in vain. So it is all dependent upon what God and what His will is. That is why even Jesus Himself said, the Son can of Himself do nothing. The Son of God can of Himself do nothing. But what He seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Then the Apostle adds, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how that he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man would build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. In other words, don't get too puffed up thinking that you or your church or your preacher is tops. Too much of that in this message. Well, Brother Vail, he's the only teacher. He's a great teacher. Hogwash. Brother Vail told me, he said, Brian, he said, they're saying that when I'm gone off the scene, there's no more teaching. He said, that's a lie. He said, the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Amen.
Because it will all come out in the wash one day, when every man's work will be judged by fire. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if it is a genuine work that God is doing and using that man, then there will be genuine results. Maybe not all in one place, but there will be results wherever that ministry is taken to, if God is the one taking it there. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And don't ever forget, you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So you see, God is the head honcho, if there's to be a head honcho. But all of this vying for number one is just so carnal. When men are determined to have the biggest ministry or the ministry that has the most followers, they are not doing this so that Christ may be glorified. They are doing so from a competitive spirit and not from the spirit of Christ. And we Americans have a very competitive spirit by the nature of our society. And we must place under our body and bring it into subjection. That's what Paul said, like a wrestler. You get under your body. You give it no leverage. The man that can get the other opponent up on his shoulders, the man on his shoulders has no leverage. What's he going to push against? What kind of leverage is he going to use? He can't. So he's helpless. And Paul said we need to get under our bodies and bring it into subjection, casting down reasonings, casting down anything that would exalt itself above the Word of God. Now in the next paragraph we read, and to the casual reader it appears that Brother Branham sidetracks from the subject for a moment to talk about rules. But if you're a careful observer of his ministry, you will see that what he said we shouldn't just throw aside as though it is non-essential, because he's talking about rules, but these rules that he's talking about tie into a paragraph, which is several paragraphs down, where he's talking about the foundation for anything, because rules must have a foundation. And you cannot have rules without having a basis for those rules. And that basis for rules is the foundation for those rules. So in the masterpiece, the next paragraph we'll pick up at is 54. And Brother Bram said, now I'm trying to watch that clock. And I asked Mike, my nephew, to ring that bell in 30 minutes, but he's not doing it. And I've already been 30 minutes. We'll continue on a little bit. See? Now, I don't want to break those rules. I made those rules. See? And here's breaking your own rule. Now, it sounds like he's kind of sidetracking. But you'll notice when we get to paragraph 61 that he's not. And I want you to notice that he comes back to the subject in a few paragraphs. And we'll skip up to paragraph 61 for a moment, because he speaks of this foundation that the masterpiece is placed upon. Therefore, he never left the subject, because he was talking about rules, and in having rules, the very first foundation of having rules is that you don't break them, at least not willfully. Now, let's stop here just for a moment this morning and look at this thought first about rules. He said, Brother Bram said, I've had a rule, and he said, I don't want to break it. I don't wish to break it. I made those rules. And so he said, we got to do something about it. Now, a rule is an authoritative, prescribed direction for conduct. That is one definition. But notice the next definition. The body of regulations prescribed by the founder of a religious order for governing the conduct of its member. Notice in paragraph 61, Brother Bram says, now watch, every masterpiece is put on a foundation of sculpture. Angelo's Monument of Moses is on 3 or 4 foot piece of marble. It's got a foundation. So God, in preparing this masterpiece, he put it on a foundation of the patriarchs. And the patriarchs' foundation first was Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, the four corners. Now, I think it's interesting that the official English definition of rules refers to the body of rules prescribed by the founder of a religious order, because a founder, according to The American Heritage Dictionary is the one who establishes something or formulates the basis for something. And the word basis means a foundation upon which something rests. So if he's a founder, he's a foundation builder. So you can see what Brother Branham said about rules ties exactly into what he's speaking here concerning the foundation piece for the masterpiece to rest upon. Now, from the greatest news flash in history, and why am I saying this? You might say, well, you know, one minute he's talking about people following people, the next thing he's talking about a foundation, because there's only one foundation. You see, there's only one focus that we should be built upon. That's not the preacher. That's not the pastor. That's not the teacher. That's not the prophet. It's the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the greatest news flash in history, Brother Branham said, they wasn't going over to argue their religious points. They were going over to say, I know he's alive. I know him because he appeared to us. And we've seen him do the same things that he did before he died, before they killed him up there. And they never stole his body away. And the woman is exactly right, because he did raise from the dead, because it was him. Then they looked at one another when they stopped under somewhere to rest a little bit. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? We ought to have known that was him. Why? It went all the way back to the scriptures. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the road and opened up to us the scriptures? He said, fools and slow of heart to understand. Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? As the scripture said, see, they know that that was Jesus because he lined straight with the scriptures no matter what the others said. And sooner the church gets to that place that it'll line up with the scripture teaching instead of trying to make some man-made theology, quicker you'll find the resurrected Christ. That's right, my brother. God builds on no other foundation than what's already been laid by the apostles. That's right. Oh, yes, they were happy. So we see that there is no other foundation, and that foundation was laid by the apostles, and that foundation was Christ. And if we preach anything but Christ Jesus, then our preaching is in vain. And the Apostle Paul said, if we preach anything that we had not already preached, then we are cursed. So don't tell me that this preacher is great or that one is great, because all they can do is say what's already been said. And that was a command given to us by Brother Branham, say only what's on the tapes. From Satan's Eden, Brother Branham said, there you are. Man mustn't establish their own self. We find it amongst, let God do something for a person, send him out. And you find every man trying to impersonate him. See, they're trying to establish themselves. Every man, I did this, me, I, mine, my denomination, me this, establishing themselves. What are we preaching about, ourselves or the kingdom of God? Establish the word of God, take out the unbelief, and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart unless God made that man thus. He cannot be established in it. And remember the deceitful part, that men think that it's right. See? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Every intellectual being seems right. The problem we have today is best displayed in sports. People idolize the winner, and they loathe the loser. They get behind the ones that have the biggest stats. No one wants to follow the man that doesn't have the biggest bat, or the most home runs, or the greatest strikeout record. And in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. The bigger the congregation, the better. The bigger the missionary program, the more we think God is in it. But what about that man that God tells to go to a place that's not big? Does that mean that he's all washed up? You know, one of the greatest leaders I know in this message is a man that is so humble that you'd easily bypass him if you were looking for what the world terms as a leader. That's Pastor Desiree Mavinga. He's a man of God who knows God. I knew from the very first time that I met him. He was one of the first to embrace the message in Congo. And he had established one of the largest churches there, and yet when God spoke to him in his heart, he followed God rather than to follow his own intellect. And he left that church of 3,000 souls. And he left his country. He left his people. And he crossed the great Congo River to 30 people in the bush. some 30 miles from the nearest town. And he left his country, he left his meal ticket, and he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit across the great Congo River to a small village. And God rewarded him while he was there by opening up to him the doctrine of Christ and the true understanding of the message. This man spent his entire month's income to copy just one of the studies, the Godhood, showing that the Word of God meant more to him than silver and gold. Now, from the rejected king, Brother Ram said, now that's the kind of man that the people like to choose today. He's not talking about this kind of man. He's talking about the ones that have the biggest statistics, the biggest churches, the biggest this and that. And he says, now that's the kind of man that people like to follow today, to choose today. The people don't want, the people does not seem to be satisfied with the way that God placed his church to be governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. They want somebody, some man, some denomination, some certain people to govern the church that they're not able to throw themselves completely into God's hands to be spiritual, to be led by the Holy Ghost. They want somebody to do their own religion for them. Somebody that will tell them just how to do it and all about it. So this man seemed to suit the place exactly because he was very intellectual. And it's a whole lot like today. We like to choose such people too, to control our churches, to control the church of God. Nothing that I have to say against it, but just merely to make a point. And that it is not, it was not, and it never will be the will of God for such to be. God is to rule his people, to govern each individual. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram said, well, God will raise up all kinds of things if the church will just get in a condition to receive it. What is your desire for God? What is your focus? What would you like to see happen in your life with God? He said God's willing, more willing to give than we are to receive. But he will never build it upon foundations of something that man has laid. For there's no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And the revelation that he'd build his church upon of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, make him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the reason I love the mission field so much is that I get to meet men of God everywhere that will forsake all the truth of the message. Forsake all for the truth of the message. These are the real heroes of faith. Not those who can quote all the quotes and recite their Bible verses from memory. That's not what God's life is all about. It's not how much you can memorize. It's not how eloquent you can speak. It's not how nicely you can present yourself wearing the right clothes and everything else. It's what is your spirit? What is your character? Where's your preeminence? God life, what is it? But those men who place self last and the Word of God first and the children of God next, that is what God life is all about. Brother Brown said, eternal life is living for others. From the message, to whom shall we go? He said, now listen, many times education leads to the demon of education. And that demon of education leads you to a know-it-all. And when you get there, then you become an infidel and you begin to deny Christ. So you can't build upon the foundation of education. Neither can we build upon political powers. You say, well, I'm so interested. I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. Both parties is rotten. There's only one foundation to build upon, and that's to build upon Christ. This nation don't need you to build upon any other foundation but Jesus Christ. That's right. No other foundation is laid. No other foundation can get you to heaven. No other foundation is secure but the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, I teach at the university. Not because I've got a bunch of degrees. No, in fact, I have the least amount of wallpaper of any of the faculty. But I teach there because they like the way that I teach. But I know that the real reason that I teach there is because God gave me a way to help me out financially. And I know by experience what Brother Bram said about the educational demon is the truth. He said education leads to a demon of education. And he said, that demon of education leads you to become a know-it-all. I've seen it amongst many of the faculty who have never held a decent job in their life. But they think because they got some piece of paper that says BS or MBA or PhD that they're smarter than the rest. They don't realize that BS is an acronym for bull dung. And an MBA is just an acronym for more bull added. And a PhD is just an acronym for piled higher and deeper. Brother Bram said you get colder by degrees. And those are the people that you can't tell them anything because they think that they have it all figured out. And boy, will they be surprised one day when they find out that they were lost and didn't even know it. Now, fortunately, not all the professors are that way. I happen to know several personally that have worked good jobs before they entered the academia. But you have to be careful in that environment because that spirit is so strong. And when it gets on those people, they don't even know it. And we have the same spirit right in the message. Let God show a man some things that he never saw before, and they get puffed up. And they think that they have it over the others who don't see it. That's the same spirit of education that Brother Branham is talking about. So don't think too highly of yourself just because God has given you understanding, or you'll open yourself up to that same demon. From the message, it was not so from the beginning. Brother Branham said, and Jesus found these people, the Jews, perverting the word of God, making the commandments of God of none effect. He said, you with your traditions take the word of God and pervert it into making it say something that it doesn't say at all. And when someone says that the word of God does not teach divine healing, they are saying something that the word of God does not say. And when they say the word of God does not teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost for believers in all ages, they are saying something that the word does not say. They are substituting something to take its place. And when we try to say that shaking hands or membership or some of these things, which are all right, but it'll never take the place of the Holy Ghost in the church. That's God's foundation. And there can be no other foundation laid. We can hear the author of the book so solemnly warn, except a man be born again of the Spirit, he will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. The very first thing that ought to be in your minds every morning when you wake up, every night when you go to bed, is do I have the Holy Ghost? And if I have the Holy Ghost, what evidence is there in my life that I'm going in a rapture? And what about it's not how much education you have, but do you have the Spirit of God living in you? That's the question. Moses was educated. Paul was educated. Daniel was educated, but they knew how to think God thoughts above their education. They held the Word of God above all worldly wisdom. And how do you know if you have the Spirit of God living in you? Jesus said, he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. So I ask you this morning, are you hungering and thirsting for the Word of God? Are you listening to the Word of God or reading it every chance that you get? Or is it something that you do only on Sundays when you come to church? Let me ask you the question, where do you keep your Bible? Is it with you at all times? Or do you keep it in your church pew? Or do you keep it in the car so you won't forget it when you come to church? That'll tell you where your preeminence is. Where do you keep your Bible? I happen to have one here that I keep here all the time because it's large print. I can see it. I have two at work, and I have dozens at home. Different translations, 26 translations. I try to keep one everywhere I can think, just like a pair of reading glasses. I keep them here, and I got dozens of here and there. What about listening to the Word of God? We all have access to MP3s with the entire message, 1,200 sermons. And I ask, how many of you are listening each day? And how often are we praying? You know, there's an old expression, seven days without prayer makes one week. And I say that 2 days without prayer makes one week. Ask ask yourself how many movies you watch each week, or how many television programs do you watch, or how many radio programs do you listen to each week, and then ask yourself how many sermons are you listening to with the intent of receiving a better understanding concerning your role as a son or daughter of God. That will tell you what preeminence you have for God's Word. From the message, Why So Hard to Live a Christian Life? Brother Branham said, no wonder we can't have real healing services. Where can God lead those sincere people under a foundation? This is God's foundation. No other foundation could be laid. We might think we're laying a foundation, but we find out that the mainspring has been gone. The builders thought that they could build the temple, and the little old funny mainspring that didn't even fit in anywhere, they kicked it out over into a weed pile, but they come to find out that that was a chief cornerstone. My brother, sister, we've had all kinds of sensations, all kinds of evidences, all kinds of everything else, but until we come back to the mainspring, our church is only just as dry as the rest of them. We've got to come back to where there is something in the member that gives him peace, that gives him joy. He's always on the mountaintop shouting the praises of God. Oh my, I wish that I could get you to see it. Then the yoke would become so easy. It doesn't chafe around the collar. It's lined with love. If it's only lined with emotion, it'll soon chafe around the collar. It's got to be lined with love. Paul said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, if there be any mercy, think on these things. Do we have a critical nature where we're just analyzing things all the time? Then we don't have love. Because love covers what? A multitude of sin. A multitude of unbelief. Look, there is no other foundation but Christ. So what are you resting on? What are you learning about? What are you studying? What are you spending so much of your waking hours doing? We spend so much time tending to the one-third part of our body, which is flesh. And we starve the two-thirds part, which is spirit. It just doesn't seem to make sense. From Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It had a foundation, and the rock is Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the same thing that happened to those that were founded by revelation. And they beat upon that house, and it fell, because it had no foundation. And great was the fall of it. In closing, Brother Ram said, from making a way, he said, but brother, God made a way of escape, and you'll have to come to God's terms, and that's through Christ Jesus our Lord. No other foundation is laid but that which has already been laid. No one to build upon any other foundation like stubble and mud, and floods will come. The floods will come and wash away, and great will be the fall. But Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is it he built it upon? On the spiritual revealed truth that he is the Son of God. Why does man say that who does man say that the Son of Man is? Some say Elijah, some say Moses, some say John the Baptist, and so forth. But who do you say that I am? And without hesitation, without taking a second, listen, sinner, that's the way that you receive it. He'd been with him. He knew what he was. And then before he could even think a second, the Holy Spirit got a hold of that man. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, You never learn this from somebody's theology. You never come from a seminary with it. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The floods may come and the tides may go, but he who is safely in Christ will ride the storm of the atomic, the same as Noah did, the storm of the flood, safely in the ark. Let your faith drop down into that once and see what takes place on God's solid rock. I'll never forget listening to some brothers one time. They were going to vote in somebody as a pastor at a certain church. And some of the brothers were saying, oh, they're so far behind us. Speaking of this certain brother, and I thought, you know, that brother is so far ahead of them. They think because they've got a certain minister, sat under a certain minister for years, that they were great, that they had it all. And so the man they were putting down was a real saint. He lived a life that's impeccable. And I thought, who are they? What is it in a person to say, well, they're behind us? No, every man is in that wheel within the wheel. And they're moving forward, and God is showing them things that they have need of. And to say, well, they're so far behind us when their life was so far ahead of the lives of those saying it. We've got to have our focus on Christ. If your focus is on Christ Jesus, you could have just one tape like that washwoman, and you'll be ready for the rapture. It's not how much knowledge you have. Paul said, though I have all wisdom and all understanding, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Father, may we truly, each as an individual, be united to Thee and walk with Thee and to walk in Thy light as You are in that light. May it bring us into fellowship one with another, and may the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin. And Father, when I look at my brothers and sisters in the message, may I see the blood first. And then see the son or daughter of God that's standing underneath that blood. Balaam looked down upon the sin in the camp. And thus he tried to curse the camp. But he failed to see the pillar of fire in their midst. He failed to see the token and the shed blood of the Lamb. May we, Father, never look past the blood that is applied in the lives of Your sons and daughters. And may we never look to a man and exalt that man more highly than he should be. For what did he have except that he received it? And what have we got except that we have received it? And thus, Father, may there only be one great one among us, and that is You. And we ask these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who fully knew Your sovereignty and Your sovereign will. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. You know, the oldest piece of pottery that was found in Israel had that verse of scripture on it. And it was the same exact words that's in our Bible, showing that the Bible has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thought, what a nice piece of pottery to have in your house. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all, and we'll see you Wednesday night.